Our in-depth guest today is Matt Haynes, artistic director of The Pulp Stage, a Portland-based theater company specializing in live storytelling for fans of sci-fi, fantasy, and suspense. Matt and Pulp Stage have pioneered the concept of storytelling karaoke, which Matt describes as an evening of live theater that you do with your family and friends without leaving home. Live theater meets Netflix for a couple of bucks. The Pulp Stage has been performing since 2010, and they'll be presenting their latest work, an adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, tonight at the Vault Theater in Hillsborough. Matt's here with us in the KABU studios to tell us more about the production and storytelling karaoke. Matt Haynes, thanks for coming into KABU.
Thank you, Ken.
Matt, you're artistic director of the Pulp Stage Theater Company. Can you tell us a little bit about how Pulp Stage got started?
Sure. Well, my passion for the style that we have, which is now experiencing its final frontier in storytelling karaoke, originally started when I saw a production of Love Letters by A.R. Gurney. Now, this is a play that only requires two actors reading directly from scripts. It's a series of letters back and forth between a man and a woman starting at age 6 and then ending around age 60. When I saw this back in 1997, I was a senior in high school, and it was my drama teacher, both my drama teachers, and it was a fundraiser because you can do this really, really quickly, really, really easily.
I've seen it. I haven't seen actual productions, but I've seen them listed usually with celebrity actors and actresses.
Exactly. And what is amazing about this piece is that it can be done by just about anybody. If you're a non-actor, the words will still take you on the ride and you can tell the story convincingly. All you got to do is read it in a good, clear voice. So it can start with just about any skill level or any production level and then end in any skill level or production level. So, you know, if you have Ryan O'Neill and Ally McGraw in town, you sell, you know, $200 tickets for Love Letters and, you know, put it on in a major Broadway theater. If you have a church fundraiser and you need to do something really quick to get everybody together and tell a great story, you do Love Letters. And so I was thinking, my goodness, this is incredible. I didn't act on this idea until much later in 2009 when a very different kind of story had appeared that my brother had written for Punk Rock magazine. And I remember looking at this and thinking, wouldn't it be great to share this with people in a live setting? Could we take this narration, this first-person narration, and turn it into dialogue? And so we ended up doing that. It was a piece called The Night I Died, and that's what kicked off the whole theater company, thanks to the Fertile Ground Festival of New Work, which is coming up in late January, early February.
And this was 2010?
This was 2010 that we actually launched. And I just remember, being so inspired by this idea of, you know, just using essentially campfire storytelling with dialogue. We did productions that had more embellishments until 2013, where we decided to go completely with the pure dialogue model. And then it was only last year that we decided, hey, let's start sharing this with people and sell ebooks where people can get this started in their own living room.
So that's storytelling karaoke.
So, exactly.
That has its origins in this 2013 change of direction.
Yeah, exactly.
How would you describe that then? I know we said in the intro it was live theater meets Netflix for a couple of bucks, which is just a great description.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't know exactly how to articulate this product for a while. You know, I tell people it's like radio theater, but it's more scaled back. I tell people
in terms of you're not going to get the music and the Foley, the sound effects.
Right, exactly. So what somebody said after a while was, you know, this is sort of like karaoke, isn't it? Where you grab a part and you just read it. And I was like, yeah, it's like acting karaoke. And then I thought, ooh, if I put acting there, then people might be intimidated and think, well, I have to be an actor. So I was like, no. All this is storytelling. So we're going to call this storytelling karaoke.
So this is entirely your concept. There was no concept of storytelling karaoke before that, certainly not with that name.
Certainly not in this form, no. I'm just delighted with the idea because I want to live in a world where it's a Friday night, you need to decompress. You could go to the movies, you could binge watch Netflix, or you could get together with your friends because the hottest, latest, most gripping episode of Storytelling Karaoke is now out on Amazon. Let's get out our tablets, let's get out our Kindles, let's get out our phones. grab this thing for $3 and we'll get together and we'll read it.
Oh, so go ahead and describe the process then. Say I'm having a party next week for the holidays and I want to do storytelling karaoke. What do I need?
Okay, well, first of all, you need to tell your friends what they're in for.
you don't want to kind of just surprise them with it.
There might
be a few that are more introverted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's good for people to know they'll be participating and also that it'll be a very focused hour or so of participation. You don't want any walk-through traffic or any potential for interruptions. Maybe mild interruptions, but it's going to take some focus. So you tell them that, hey, we're doing this thing. It's like campfire storytelling or, when people just during the holidays get together and read a favorite story together. But this one has dialogue. And so what we're going to do is we're going to all take out our devices. We're going to go to Amazon and we're going to, in this case, search for Christmas Carol Storytelling Karaoke, and then this icon appears, and we're going to download it to our phones. We're going to begin reading the instructions. The instructions will set us up. There's nothing that we need to do to prepare, and then we're going to read. That's all there is to it. But
do you assign parts then, Matt?
Exactly. In the script, it just walks you right through it.
Uh-huh.
And it gives you different casting assignments depending on the size of your party. You can do it with just 3 people, or you can do it with 12 people or more.
Those 3 would be playing multiple roles.
Oh, yes. But again, all you got to do is read. You don't have to be a virtuoso.
But you can have a little fun with it. If I wanted to be Ebenezer Scrooge, for example. Or
yeah, sure, if you
Bob
wanted.
Bob Cratchit. And
yeah, but people shouldn't feel like, oh, okay, Ebenezer Scrooge, I need to do a British accent. Or, oh, I'm going to be playing a woman. Well, I should get my voice all high-pitched. No. All you need to do, it's literally if you were reading a story. You know, a book says he said she said, and you don't have to embellish it terribly. So in this case, it's the same thing.
Now let's get to that Christmas Carol, because in addition to the storytelling karaoke version of it, you'll be performing it tonight at the Vault Theater in Hillsboro. The perfect holiday play, but given all the previous versions, stage, screen, even radio back in the golden era, were you apprehensive at first about the challenge of adapting such a classic?
Well, I wasn't apprehensive about the challenge because the goal wasn't to present a bold new vision of the text itself. The goal was to present a version of the text that would translate best into this device that we have, storytelling karaoke, where everybody could participate and everybody would be absolutely riveted with just the words.
And that was a process. You'd have to strip out the narration, get right to the dialogue, and then not take every bit of dialogue, just the more dramatic sections?
It was a huge process. I thought it was going to be a cinch. Dickens himself, would go around and read this thing out loud. So I was like, how hard could it be for us? Well, what we discovered is, first of all, there's a lot of narration in Dickens' piece. That's one of his strengths. He paints these beautiful worlds and beautiful characters, but it's a lot. And it gets people sort of tuned out after a while if they know they're going to be participating, because it could be 30 minutes before they get to jump in with their character. And then the dialogue itself is very exposition-based. So it doesn't exactly crackle like theatrical dialogue. So what we found is we had to strip down the story and then reform it so that it's got what I would call dramatic values. Now, the original Christmas Carol is very much, here's what's going on for you. I'm going to show you, and I show you, and I show you, and now you feel this way. That's not great drama. It's great storytelling, but it's not great drama. Great drama is where two characters have opposing wants and they get into it and they fight for what they want and they use their words as their battle weapons. So in this case, we had to come up with these various scenarios where two people, Scrooge and somebody else, were actually fighting for something. And it really goes right back to the nature of drama. And that was an exciting process, but it did mean we had to shuffle some things around.
Now, the dialogue itself, even though you mentioned some of it's not all that dramatic, is so familiar to us from seeing many different versions of the same version over and over. For example, the mm-hmm. Alistair Sim early 50s version.
Right.
I love. Did you change the dialogue in any way? Are we going to hear some of those classic lines in a different way?
You'll hear some of the classic lines. Chances are they'll be abbreviated, and chances are there will be different classic bits like God bless us everyone. They should be boiled in their own pudding. all those,
Are there no workhouses?
about.
Exactly. Yep, that's in there. You know, there are many things which do not turn me a prophet, uncle, and that sort of thing. But they're stirred into this new sort of, they're stirred into this new dialogue.
Well, let's ask about that. This is a storytelling karaoke concept. But tonight in Hillsborough, you'll actually be performing it on stage. How'd you go about casting and staging it? And did you add any of those effects that are stripped away for the karaoke version?
No, no effects are added. The audience should look at this and say, I could do this. I want to do this. Hopefully they'd want to do it because it's going to be a beautiful evening of just pure storytelling. And I think this is a wonderful holiday gift because what I think about the holidays and the original cast, the first cast that I worked with on this, we said, you know, the holidays, no matter what your belief system, no matter how invested you are, they are a great, great opportunity for what we should be doing ongoing, which is making joyous connections with each other. When you read this script together and when you experience this story, it's a chance to connect and connect live using your imaginations and your good faith in each other to make a story happen. Now, how did I cast it? Ken, we're about to find out because what's going to happen is this is literally going to be a marathon. I'm going to get into the space and there's going to be four actors there. Within 4 hours, we're going to cast this thing, rehearse it, give notes, and then we're going to perform it at 7:30.
Oh, that's amazing. Are you going to ask for any audience participation here? Anybody to fill in some of the roles?
Or? They're not going to fill in any of the roles, as it were, but there are choral parts that constantly interject to make sound effects and to make sort of ghostly voices just saying things. Like, for example, when Scrooge's nephew is about to say, God bless it, God bless Christmas, there's a ghostly voice that comes in and says, God.
And the audience can
do that because what I'm going to offer is that they will email me in the lobby. I will send them a PDF of the script, and then they're going to load it onto their phones, and they can join in. We're going to turn down the lights so everybody's lit up by the glow of their devices. Now, audience, you don't have to do this. We perform at your pleasure, but if your pleasure is to do something kind of funky and new with absolutely no risk, because the actors will be doing these voices as well, give it a try and look for me in the lobby, and I'll give you my email address.
That sounds like a great deal. Now, how can listeners find out more about the Pulp Stage, Matt, and buy tickets for tonight's performance?
Well, tickets for tonight's performance, I'm going to give you an abbreviated URL just in case people are driving, which is, you know, obviously a way to listen to the radio. So if you go to tinyurl.com/vaultcarol, because it'll be happening in the vault at Bag
Theater
and Baggage Productions. So again, that's tinyurl.com/vaultcarol. Or you can Google it at Bag and Baggage Vault Christmas Carol.
And of course, they could always go to the Pulp Stage website, which is thepulpstage.weebly.com.
That is correct.
Okay. Well, Matt, thanks very much for coming in. I know you're busy getting ready for the performance, so I really appreciate that. Again, that's tonight, the Vault Theater at 7:30. We've been talking with Matt Haynes, Artistic Director of the Pulp Stage. You can catch their latest production, Dickens' A Christmas Carol, at the Vault Theater tonight in Hillsborough at 7:30. And you can find out more about the Pulp Stage and their work at thepulpstage.weebly.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.